Glory.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So, salt. Can salt lose its saltiness? Salt is a mineral. It's used to cure or preserve foods, mainly meat. It enhances the flavor of foods. Sometimes salt is used for commerce, like a coin. The loss of salt could cause some serious hardships. But the question is, can salt lose its saltiness? Salt is sodium chloride, and the separation of the two elements, sodium and chloride, requires a chemical reaction. I have this on good authority from Bill Tiedemann. Salt cannot lose its ability to preserve and flavor food. Salt cannot be worn out, but salt can be diluted. Depending on the proportion of salt to liquid, the presence of salt can be increasingly dilute. The effects of the salt will be diminished, and maybe we should just throw it away. Jesus called the disciples, including you and me, the salt of the earth. Can we lose our saltiness? As salt, we are to preserve and keep and pass on the stories of our faith and make them interesting and relevant. But we dilute our faith. We are faced with many demands on our time, our energy, even our very souls. Modern life asks much of us, and we feel obliged to respond. We lose our ability to be taste-enhancing salt for the world because we forget to put God first. First God, then family, then church, work, community, but always first God. But we're not confident it will be safe to fall madly in love with God. We do not trust our ability that God will, our conviction that God will enfold us in the reality of total acceptance and love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This is the first commandment. But do we love God? Love God with that adoration. I love you, God. I love you, God. Seems like we can't get that simple. We have to make it much fancier, but it's as simple as that. I love you, God. I love the Lord. As we listened to last week's challenging sermon on the Beatitudes, we wondered how we could ever implement those blessings in our lives while at the same time making the choices necessary to survive in this competitive, materialistic, and life-denying culture. Like Father Jan, we love the Beatitudes. We do. We love them. They're beautiful. But we find it hard to balance our commitment to God as well as our commitment to careers, family, country. How can we even think about being salt? How can we preserve and reveal the stories of our faith to our neighbor? How can we shake our salt on the light of truth that following the way of Jesus is relevant to life in 2023? This is more than a religion for the first century Palestine. This is a faith for right now, today. Well, I of course have an idea. I think we should look to the life of one of our favorite saints to see if we can get some suggestions about how to be salt. So since February 1st, Wednesday was the feast day of St. Bridget of Kildare, I've chosen to look at St. Bridget for ideas on how to be salt. She was born around 451 of the Common Era, and we know when she died, February 1st, 523. So she lived to be approximately 72 years old. What a long life for the 5th century. Her father was the King of Leinster. Her mother was a Christian, perhaps a slave. And shortly before Bridget was born, her father sold her mother to a Druid priest. So she was born and reared in the Druid faith. She was born at the threshold of the house, the little strip between inside and outside. That's a transition time. You move from the inside to the outside. You move from the dark into the light. That's a transition. You move from the past into going forward. So threshold is a transition time. We know that she was born at the threshold because that was the custom of the time. Houses were small, just square made of rocks, but there was a door frame. And the woman in labor grasped the edges of the door frame, and every time she had a contraction, she hung on. I'm sorry, this, if you don't know about how birth happens, you should probably not pay attention. But so as the woman goes into labor and then the baby begins to be born, the midwife is kneeling in front of her and she catches the baby. What a great system. So, she's at being born in this time of transition, and that's important to notice because she was also born at a time of transition when Christianity was beginning to spread. The transition is also revealed in the fact that she was moving from a Druid faith into a Christian faith herself. Well, she was a bright, beautiful young woman. So when she was maybe 10 or 12, her father said, I'd like to have her live at the palace with me. Now, it's not a palace like Queen Elizabeth lived in, or King Charles, whoever's the king now. It's just a simple two-room hut, but it was nice. So he brought Bridget back, and what did she do? She paid attention to the readings that were read this morning, and every time somebody came by and said, do you have anything you could give me? I'm hungry. She gave them whatever they had. She gave them cheese. She gave them milk. She gave clear cold water to a person who was thirsty. She gave a little bread of oat bran to the person who was hungry and had no food. She even went so far as to give away her father's regal garments because somebody needed a cloak, and although the garments were embroidered with gold threads, she gave them to the person who needed a cloak. Constantly giving things away. She loved her father and she enjoyed traveling with him around his kingdom, and one day they were out riding in a coach, and he went into the house to talk to his tenant, and she stayed in the coach, the little cart, actually. And a poor beggar came by and said, I need money, I need help, my family is starving, can you help me? And she said, no, I'm just a child, I don't have anything to give you. He said, oh, please look and see, do you have anything to give me? I'm so desperately in need. No, she said, I have nothing to give you, I'm just a child. Oh, please look and see, is there something I could take and feed my family? And she said, well, I could give you this sword. I don't know what you would do with it, but you could have it. And she gave away her father's ceremonial sword encrusted with jewels so that the poor man could sell it and provide for his family. Now, how bold is that? Her father decided she needed to be married. And he arranged a marriage for her with a nearby nobleman. But she refused. She said, no, no, I'm not going to marry him. Remember, she's stubborn. She refuses to marry him because she said, I want to be a nun. A nun? Yes, she wanted to be a nun. She was a druid nun. And she began to form a community of believers around her because there was this attractive personality that just was so filled with enthusiasm for the sacred. She was baptized by St. Patrick. I'm not sure about how that worked time-wise, but that's what they say. I don't know how she was converted to Christianity. I think it was gradual. Oh, and speaking of time being all time being present, she was present when Jesus was born in Nazareth. There's a wonderful painting of this, which is actually kind of poorly painted, in the museum in Glasgow, where the angels are carrying Bridget flying to the Holy Land to see the birth of Jesus. But at any rate, she was there. She's sometimes called Bridget on her knees, not because she was always on her knees praying, but because she was kneeling before Mary to catch the baby Jesus when he was born. So she was a midwife to the birth of Jesus. She lifted Jesus up to God to praise the Lord for this baby, and then she immediately put him to her breast to be nourished by the milk of her own body. So Bridget was both midwife and wet nurse to the Holy Child. To go back to while she was still a Druid princess, she had founded a community. People were attracted to her and they wanted to live with her and they wanted to try to follow the faith to the extent that she was. And she needed some land so they could build their little huts. They're just small little round things that they lived in for their housing. But she needed some land, and so she went to a nearby chief and said, I need land for my monastery. And he said, no, I don't have any land to give you or sell to you. Did that stop her? No, not Bridget. She went back. She asked him again. No, he said. She went back. She asked him again. No, 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 I have nothing for you. Finally, he wore out and he said, okay, whatever your cloak can cover, that can be the land I give you. She said, fine. She took off her cloak, laid it on the ground, and of course, the cloak began to grow and spread and spread and spread till it covered a whole plain, large enough for her great community. Well, the place that they built is called Kildare, and that means the value of the oak. The Kildare means place of the oak, and Druid is a wisdom of the oak, bearer of oak wisdom. So the oak tree was very important, and you can really understand why. Because oak has a deep root that goes way down into the ground. And the oak root that goes down into this deep interior of the earth where it reaches the belly of creation, and all creation comes from this belly deep within earth. So you have going from the origin of life up, up, up into the heavens. The oak reaches up into the heavens. And this is a fantastic symbol of the unity between earth and heaven. Heaven is not cut off as a place where some people go but some don't. It's a unity of the whole life from deep within the earth up into the heavens. So Bridget had nuns, and this wonderful monastery became a large gathering of Christians. They were all converted to Christians, and the nuns then, with Bridget, went to Bishop Mell to have a ceremony of taking the veil. So they're there, standing in a line, and he talks to each one. When he came to Bridget, a breeze blew up, and the pages of the prayer book got turned. And Bishop Mell read the words to consecrate Bridget a bishop. So Bridget is now Bishop Bridget. Here's what Bishop Mell said. No power have I in this matter. That dignity hath been given by God unto Bridget beyond every woman. What other tradition that they had at the monastery was keeping of a sacred flame. Now this started before, during Druid times, but Bridget carefully moved this into the Christian tradition. The flame, the light of Christ. Wherever there's a flame, that's the light of Christ. So she kept this flame burning in her monastery. Long after her death, the nuns continued to keep the fire going until, unfortunately, in the 16th century, Protestant reformers put it out as blasphemous. Oh, dear. But what happened? Keeping the flame then moved into the homes. Religion became very intimate and very much a part of the home. And so the person who was in charge of the flame was the oldest woman of the household. So every evening she would rake the coal, the ashes, the coals, into a circle, and then she put three pieces of peat on the top, and then she'd cover the whole thing with ash, all the while chanting thanksgivings to Bridget and saying other prayers. And the flame is down, but it's not extinguished. And then in the morning, when the dawn is coming and it's time to arise, she removes the ashes, she removes the three pieces of peat, and the flame flames up, not having been extinguished, but simply reduced. And a celebration with Bridget for the new day of rejoicing in the light of the world. So, are these stories of Bridget true? Maybe some are, and maybe some are adapted from somebody else and put on Bridget. We do know how important she is even today in the faith of Irish people. Well, who can say what's a historic fact? Who can say what is myth? Does it matter? These stories embody and keep alive great truths for Christians. That's what matters. That's what matters. So we can pray for the wisdom to see when we are standing on a threshold. When am I standing on a threshold, moving from something and embarking on something else? We can pray for the courage to step across that threshold and keep alive great Christian truths. We can prayerfully discern what beliefs, what practices, what theologies, what language do we need to preserve, bringing from the past into the future. Not only for ourselves, but also for our church community. What do we need to keep? What do we need to let go of? Knowing that change brings chaos, and chaos brings pain. We can offer a cup of cold water to the thirsty. Sometimes that is simply listening. And there are plenty of people in pain in this congregation. And to listen to one another is an important part of our life together. We can share meat and bread with the hungry. We can dedicate ourselves to care for and preserve Earth's clear, cold, pure water. Like Bridget guarding the springs of Ireland. And if you've been to Ireland, you know you can visit Bridget's spring almost anywhere on the island. They're all honoring the sacred in the water. And we can remember that water is the water of baptism, the water of the Samaritan woman, the water of life. Jesus expects you and me to be the salt that preserves the story of our faith. Jesus expects us to live so as to shine the light of Christ into the world. Be salt. Be the light. Your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Thanks be to God.